Welcome to Torah Dinecha Nach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Shubra Hochheimer, and today we will be learning Yeshayahu Perek 28. The last Perek concluded the four prakim that focused on the future Geula and the causes for Galus. This Perek returns to the present. The next set of prakim through Perek 34 are warnings for Yeshayahu's generation. Many of the Nevuos begin with the same word, Hoy, woe, as the prakim are discussing destruction and exile. Yeshayahu in this parak begins by first sharing a negative nevuah about Malchus Yisrael and their overindulgence in wine and materialism, which led them to forget Hashem. The Malbim says that the inclusion of this nevuah about Yisrael is only there to serve as an introduction to the nevuah about Malchus Yehuda, who are the main focus of all the nevuos of Yeshayahu. Yehuda imitated the materialistic behaviors of Yisrael and mocked all the nevuos delivered to them. Yeshayahu lets them know what the consequences of this will be. As we discuss what will happen to Yehuda, Yeshayahu will use many botanical and agricultural references as metaphors to make the message more understandable to the people of the time. The parak begins with a discussion of Ephraim in the first five psukim. Pasuk 1, Hoy ateres geus shikorei Ephraim. Woe to the proud crowns of the drunkards of Ephraim. The leadership of Ephraim, which is a common way to refer to Malchus Yisrael, were very self-absorbed and self-focused. They would wear crowns and use all manners of ointments and oils on their foreheads. These self-indulgent, rich people would get drunk. The nobles of Yisrael are compared in the next few psukim to plants. The nobles started off handsome, but soon they wilted. Much of their beauty was diminished because of their alcohol consumption. They were halume yayin, knocked out from wine. When they got drunk, they would roll around in a stupor, injuring themselves. Hashem will use his strength to punish Ephraim. Their defeat is compared to storms and floods hitting gardens, which are then trampled underfoot by passing hordes. After these destructive forces, the trees in the garden are picked clean. The fruit is ripe and tasty, so those picking the fruit cannot resist devouring it as it is being picked. The elements of the mashal about the garden corresponds to how Asher will conquer and exile Malchus Yisrael quickly and completely. Though Yisrael will suffer, there will be a positive result from this exile. Pasuk 5. Bayomahu, on that day, when Malchus Yisrael is exiled, Yehashem Tzvakos La'Teres Tzvi, Utsfiras Tifara. Hashem will be a crown of glory and for a wreath of beauty, Lishar Amo, on the rest of his nation. The exile of the 10 tribes made an impression on Yehuda. They did tshuva, which changed their history. In specific, their ruler, the righteous King Chizkiyahu, honored Hashem, and as a result, Hashem honored him. King Chizkiyahu brought a whole new spirit into the nation. Pasuk 6, Uluruach Mishpat Layoshev Al Hamishpat. Hashem gave a spirit of judgment to he who sits in judgment. Chizkiyahu put in time and effort so that he would judge fairly. In turn, Hashem gave Chizkiyahu the knowledge and insight to be the judge he wanted to be. Chizkiyahu also instituted a fair and equitable justice system, creating peace between neighbors and countries. V'ligvura mishive melchama sha'ara. Hashem was a source of strength for Chizkiyahu, who returned war from the gates. The courts in the time of Chizkiyahu were held by the gates. Because there was a justice system at the gates, the soldiers did not need to go to war, and Hashem protected them instead. The reign of Chizkiyahu was marked by fairness and spirituality, but it did not last. Chizkiyahu had a son, Menashe, who corrupted the nation. The habits of Yisrael found their way into Yehuda, Pasuk 7. V'gam eile b'yayin shagu, uv'sheichar ta'u, kohen v'navi shagu. They too erred because of wine, and they strayed because of liquor. The Kohen and the prophet erred. Yehuda learns from Yisrael, and even the leaders spent their time and money on wine and food. The role of Kohanim in a Torah society was to teach the people Torah. When the Kohanim started to drink heavily, they could no longer impact the people, nor could they do the service in the Beis HaMikdash. The prophets mentioned here were not authentic Nevi'im. These were individuals who pretended to have prophecy to influence others to act in ways that would benefit them. With these leaders guiding the population, the culture shifted. Instead of Yehuda being the epitome of propriety,
Yehuda became coarse and repulsive. They so overindulged at meals and were so focused on their pleasure that Pasuk 8, Kol Shulchanos Malu Ki Tzoa B'li Makom. All the tables were full of vomit, filth, and no places clean. They ate, vomited, and soiled themselves because they were focused on pleasure, not on consequences. Yeshayahu wonders who can lead the people with wisdom if their leadership is so far gone. The leaders and people have ignored what happened to Malchus Yisrael and are not listening to the Nevuos. Perhaps, Yeshayahu says sarcastically, the only option would be to teach the babies who have been recently weaned because everyone else has been corrupted. The adults are acting like children, and they need to be taught everything repeatedly like children. When Yeshayahu tries to teach the adults, it is like Pasuk 10, Tzav Latzav, Tzav Latzav, Kav Lakav, Kav Lakav, Ze'er Sham, Ze'er Sham. It is commandment by commandment, commandment by commandment, line by line, line by line, here a little, there a little. The Malbim and Radak say that Yeshayahu had to teach the halachos and ethics of Judaism as they would be taught to school children. Everything had to be broken down but into chunks. Everything was repeated multiple times. All the messages were whittled down to small sound bites with the hope that the people would absorb some message and be interested in learning more. Similarly, Rav Schwab explains that there was a shallowness to their religious practice and learning. The people viewed every mitzvah in isolation, tzav letzav, tzav letzav, and did not understand that there was an overarching system of laws and philosophies that guided their life beyond the details. The people had an immature conception of Judaism, and yet they did not want to learn more. When Yeshayahu is teaching these people, he feels it is as if he is speaking pig Latin, Pasuk 11, Bila'agei safa uvelashon acheres, unintelligible speech and in another language is what he feels like he's talking to the people. They don't understand the depth of what he is trying to teach them or how it could be true. They should have wanted to learn and practice more, as he taught them that only a life guided by Torah was, Pasuk 12, Zos hamenucha, this is the true rest, Vizos hamargeya, this is the true satisfaction. There is nothing more fulfilling and meaningful than living a life guided by Torah, but velo avu shmoa. The people did not agree to absorb this message. They would rather view Judaism as a burden and that relaxation and luxury is how they will find comfort. Because they do not want to even learn the little bit the Navi is teaching them, Pasuk 13, Vahaya lahem dvar Hashem. The word of Hashem will befall them. Hashem's decrees will soon be realized. Tzav letzav, tzav letzav. Kav lakav, kav lakav. Zer sham, zer sham. Commandment by commandment, commandment by commandment. Line by line, line by line. Here a little, there a little. For each small law they ignore, they will sin in that area, as it says in Pirkei Avos, Avera goreres avera. One sin leads to the next sin, until l'man yelchu v'chashlu achor. When they walk forward, they will be walking backward. They would end up captured by the enemies. They will be broken people. With this backdrop, Yeshayahu tries to encourage the people, specifically the leadership, to change. Instead, they mock Yeshayahu's words, and with their influence, discourage the nation from changing. The leaders told the people, Pasuk 15, Karasnu vrises maves, we have made a covenant with death. He's agreed not to come for us. Vimshol asinu choze, and we made a boundary with a grave. We won't cross over into it, and he won't come and get us into it. When the punishment comes to the land, they tell the people, it won't come for us. They say mockingly that they have made a shelter and a refuge in their lives of falsehood. Yeshayahu informs them that despite their efforts to convince the people that their path was okay, the values of the Torah are eternal. They will be exiled while, Pasuk 16, Hineni yisad b'tzion aven. Behold, I am laying a stone for a foundation in Sion. Evan bochan pinas yakras musad musad. A sturdy stone, a precious cornerstone, a secure foundation. Everything the leaders have will be destroyed. Their wealth, their power, even the Mesa Migdash. But something will remain despite their best efforts.
Hashem laid a foundation in Yerushalayim that will serve as the basis of the future Beis HaMikdash that will be built by Mashiach. Galus will come, but there is a direction that the world is moving toward no matter what happens in the immediate future. The foundations and principles of Judaism have been established and cannot be destroyed. Yoshua couches these promises with the warning, Hama'amin lo yachish. Let the believer not expect it too soon. Says Rashi, one who believes in Hashem and Nevuah does not need these events to happen quickly to believe that they will happen. One of the 13 principles of faith is that we believe that Mashiach will come, even if he delays. Rav Schwab explains that although we hope Mashiach will come any day, we will not give up hope if he does not come on our timeline. Being patient is part of the demands of our emunah. Constructing a building of the Beis HaMikdash requires tools. Two important tools when building are a line and a plumb that make sure that the building is level and going up straight. When the Beis HaMikdash is built on the cornerstone Hashem has laid, Pasuk 17, V'samti mishpat lakav utzdaka l'mishkales. Justice will be the line and charity will be the plumb. The two immutable values of justice and charity will be the guides by which the Beis HaMikdash and indeed the future society will be built. While this is in the distant future, the immediate future will not be positive. The leader spoke mockingly about having an agreement with death to postpone their meeting, when in fact, Yeshayahu tells the leaders that their agreement with death and the grave are null and void. Instead, when the sweeping rod of conquest from the army passes through the land, they and their nation, who they deceived, will be trampled by it. There will be a constancy to the negative decrees. The people will not be able to rest. Destruction and exile will follow them wherever they may be, and will come, Pasuk 19, Vavoker Baboker Yavor Bayom Uvalayla. Every morning, by day and by night. What they will experience in their exile during their endless days and nights of exile will be incomprehensible. Their Egalus experience will feel like Pasuk 20, Ki Katsar Hamatsa Mehishtareya, a bed that is too short to stretch, Vamasechat Sara Kiskanes, and a blanket that is too narrow to gather under it. If you are ever on a cot with a small big blanket, it is impossible to find a comfortable position, and it's hard to rest. This is the Gullus experience for Yehuda when they are invaded. There is not space and room for the Jewish people anywhere in the world. The invaders will take up all the space, and wherever the Jews are, they will be pushed out. The conquering nations will not allow the Jewish people space to live and just be. This is a new reality for Yehuda, one they would have never expected. In all the wars, Hashem had been on their side, the Pasuk tells us in Yeshayahu here. David HaMelech had a miraculous victory on Har Peratzim. During the battle of Yehoshua against the Amori and Gibeon, the sun and moon even stood still, and giant hail fell to kill the enemies. Now, something strange will happen. Hashem will perform miracles, but it's going to be for the benefit of the enemies to hurt Yehuda. Unfortunately, as Yeshayahu spoke, the people did not listen to him. He tells them, Pasuk 22, Vata, and now, Al Tislotetsu, don't make fun, don't scoff. Penechtu Mosrechem, lest your affliction be more severe, you're causing your problems to get worse. Ki Chalav Necheratza Shamati Meis Hashem. I've heard about complete annihilation from Hashem, and it is coming for this whole land. Do tshuva. Yeshayahu tries now yet another tactic to try to get them to listen. For the next 7 psukim, he brings a parable of a farmer plowing, planting, and harvesting to help the people understand that Hashem is indeed serious. The mashal begins with a question. Does a farmer keep plowing all day, every day, if he plans to sow the grain? Of course not. A farmer plows to prepare for planting. Just as the farmer plows the soil for our purpose, the Nevi'im prepare the souls of the nation, so to speak, so they can grow. If the people do not listen to the Nevi'im, they are negating the reason for the speeches, and Hashem will need to progress to the next step to find another way to get his messages across. Yeshayahu then looks at what's happening after the plowing. After preparing the ground, the farmer spreads dill and different kinds of seeds, and he carefully plants wheat and barley and spelt in specific rows and in specific locations based on the needs of the plant. Planting is not random and the same for every single plant. How it is planted is based on the nature and needs of the plant,
not on the convenience of the farmer. Just like the planting is not random, Pasuk 26, the Yisrola Mishpat, Hashem punishes a man for a reason, so that through his challenges he will change and he'll be open to Elokav Yorenu, that Hashem will teach him. Fast forward to the harvest. Yeshayahu says that the tools for harvesting are also different based on the plant. Pasuk 27. Kilo becharutz yudash ketzach. Black caraway is not threshed with a threshing board. Va'ofan agala al kamon yusav. And the wagon wheels don't run over cumin. Caraway and cumin are processed with gentle processing because otherwise they'll be ruined. Wheat for bread, though, is threshed with a stronger implement. But even then, there is a limit to how long the wheat is threshed and with what intensity. The threshing eventually stops, and the tool has to be strong enough, but not too strong, because the potential flour shouldn't be ruined and mixed with garbage that will then make it all unusable. Similarly, gullus and how Hashem treats each person is tailored-made for them. Pasuk 29. Just like how plants need to be grown is based on what Hashem has defined in nature, how Hashem deals with Klal Yisrael is also defined by Hashem. Gam zos me'im Hashem tzvakos yatza. This also is defined and decreed by Hashem. Hifli etza higdil tushia. Wonderful is his counsel and great is his wisdom. Hashem evaluates each situation to give people what they need. If a person does tshuva right away, Hashem treats them like the caraway seed. If they are stubborn, Hashem may use harsher tools like used on wheat. But Hashem never crushes the Jewish people and punishes them forever. This parak taught us about Malchus Yisrael and the consequences of their drunk and hedonistic society. Chizkiyahu changed what was going on in his kingdom based on what he saw happening to Malchus Yisrael. But then the next kings sinned. Yeshayahu wants the people to listen, but they are swayed by scoffers who hold great power to change the people's thinking. The leaders do not listen and promise that only positive predictions will happen. Yeshayahu ends the parak with a mashal that he hopes will convince the people to reflect on their actions and change so that their punishment will not be so severe. His mashal is that every plant is planted and harvested in a specific way, and every person's life is tailor-made for them to help teach them the lessons that they need to learn. This parak had so many lessons. I think one lesson in this parak is the description of the education needed by the people. They acted like children, expecting to be entertained and fed sound bites so that they could understand anything. What Yeshayahu perhaps could be saying is it's not the job of the Navi, or in modern language, in the job of the rabbi, to convince people to learn and for them to compete against distractions and cravings of adults. The leaders are not there to entertain, they are there to teach. I'm preaching to the choir, as that's why we're all here listening and learning together. We recognize that we are responsible for our learning and growth. Sometimes people will complain that they didn't learn something in elementary school or middle school and blame their ignorance on what happened 30 or 40 years ago. We can't use this as an excuse. As adults, we need to constantly invest in ourselves and plan how we can take responsibility to learn all the parts of the Torah that we need, especially when it will take a little bit more effort and concentration. As we train ourselves to listen for the messages of Hashem, Hashem's messages can be quieter and can be more direct, and then we will be able to change ourselves to allow for the Beis HaMikdash, which is waiting on us, to finally be rebuilt on its eternal foundation with its eternal values. Thank you for learning together, Le'ilui Nishmas, Barbara Atlas, Bracha Bas Avraham. She was a beacon of light to all who knew her. Barbara's kindness and generosity had no bounds.